Well, it's my privilege to be with you and to preach the gospel, and thankful for my students coming down with us to be here, and thankful for this church and the prayer support that you give to our ministry. We appreciate it so much, and we're just glad to be here. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 127. And let's stand together as we read the scriptures. Psalm 127, a song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this part of your word, and pray that you would write it upon our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've all been there. You know what I'm talking about. Your palms are sweaty. You've got a pit in your stomach. Sometimes you feel physically sick. For my students, it's the week when they have two papers due and three tests. For many of you in this room, it's the times when work is killing you. Maybe you don't know where you stand with some of your friends. You need to get those rotten boards replaced on the house, but you're afraid to because you think it'll cost too much money, so you don't do anything. And then you've got bigger questions, like about your future, questions about your family, your career. I wonder how my kids are really doing. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? I can't stop thinking about it. I carry it around with me all the time. What about my anxiety? Does my faith in Christ Jesus have anything to do with my fears and my worries and the things that I wrestle with? I think Psalm 127 is a prime example of the fact that God does care. He does care, and His Word speaks powerfully and lovingly into our hearts and lives, into the fear, the anxiety, the worry that we carry around with us so much as people. And I want to say a few things before we get started. First of all, I want to make sure that as we begin this conversation about anxiety, that the people who struggle with anxiety and fear like me, I don't want this to be just one more thing that you're worried about. So, you know, and on top of everything else, I need to be anxious less. That's not the point or purpose of this. Secondly, what we're going to talk about this morning is not a silver bullet. It's not a magic potion. After the sermon this morning, all of your fears will not just disappear. But hopefully what we're talking about here is something that can help us think about how to move toward trusting and resting in God more and more with our lives and the practical things in our lives. My hope and prayer is that understanding what God's telling us from Psalm 127, that it can help us continue to live this lifelong endeavor of casting our cares upon the Lord, of learning and enjoying what it means to walk and live with the peace of God that passes all understanding, even when life presses hard on us. So let's look at the passage together. The first thing I want us to see is that we cannot cure our anxiety. We can't cure our anxiety. When you may think, well, that's great, preacher. Let's go to the house then. But here's the thing. There are a couple things we need to think about. First of all, life can be a rat race. And I don't need to tell you this, do I? There are times, maybe there are times right now, there will be times when we just don't know how we're going to fit everything into the day. You run here, you do this, you go there. The workload can be overwhelming. The list can be too long. I want to begin here not to discourage you, but to remind you that God knows. God knows. He knows about the stuff that you're dealing with. And God not only knows in a hypothetical sense, He knows in a personal sense, because Jesus Christ became a man and He endured the struggles and the stresses of life, and He experienced those things for us. He even experienced the stress of disappointment and death, and He is a sympathetic high priest. He cares for us. He remembers that we're dust. Life can be a rat race. Another thing I want us to see under we can't cure our anxiety is this simple fact. We want our lives to count. We want it to count. We want it to be for something. There are two clear ideas in the first few verses of Psalm 127. The idea of work and the idea of vanity. And, this is something from the very beginning. God made us to be workers. Remember Adam in the garden? He tended the garden. He named the animals. And this is one of the ways as human beings that we can reflect the creativity and the intelligence and the ingenuity. It reflects the image of God in us when we work for His glory. But the other word that we see in these verses is the word vain. And that's a very powerful word. Those labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Vanity means empty, meaningless, unsubstantial. And this is one of our fears, isn't it? That our work, that our lives, that they won't count. That we'll be disqualified or sidelined. And these first few verses from Psalm 127, written by Solomon, remind us of verses written by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember the theme of Ecclesiastes? Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And over again in the book of Ecclesiastes, as Solomon shows, he displays that life without God is like chasing after the wind. It's like trying to hold oil in your hands. You can't do it. It just slips through. And so in Ecclesiastes, he highlights all these things that could possibly bring fulfillment. Pleasure, possessions, money, intelligence, but by themselves, all those things leave us empty and wanting. We don't want to build our house in vain. We don't want to watch the city and then lo and behold, the enemy comes in and they've infiltrated our defenses. This is one of the causes of our anxiety, that our plans, our effort, our work, our life will fall flat and fail. It's often connected, our fears are often connected with disappointing people and the regrets in our life. And am I making the right decision? And the list goes on and on. We want it to count. So what do? Well, we try to fix our anxiety. That's one of the things that we try to do. We try to fix it. In late 2008, early 2009, there was a comedy sketch where these reporters were interviewing a businessman who had been laid off from his job. And they said, "What do you think about the current economic crisis?" He's like, "I don't know about the crisis, but somebody needs to fix it. Somebody needs to fix it." And that's the way we feel about our fears and our anxieties, isn't it? We just want to try to fix it at any cost, whatever it takes. And that's what Psalm 127 highlights, some of the ways that we try to deal with or fix the anxiety in our lives. And one of the ways we see it in verse 2. We rise up early and we go late to rest. I can deal with the stress in my life by staying up later and getting up earlier and adding more things to my to-do list. And if I just do these things, then I'll be able to make a dent in all the things that I think I have to do. But what happens? When we try to live that way, The list gets longer. And we burn the candle at both ends. And we get burned out. I think there are a lot of people who think the more stuff they have in their life, it will take away the fear and the anxiety that they deal with. There are some folks that believe if I keep the engine running all the time, if I'm always going, then I can cover up the fear and the anxiety. And here's a reality. You will never do enough stuff to take away the anxiety in your life. In vain do they rise up early. In vain do they go late to rest. But verse 2 also shows another way that we try to deal with the fears and the anxieties that we all battle with. It says that we eating the bread of anxious toil. That's such a powerful and vivid picture. One way that we try to deal with our anxiety is we just ignore it. We stuff it. We say, I'm just going to keep it inside. All inside myself. And eating the bread of anxious toil is such a powerful picture. Have you ever been so anxious that you couldn't eat? Or you did eat, but you can't remember because you didn't even seem to taste the food. And the anxiety is the thing that you feed on. And you turn it over and over again in your mind. And it's a picture of someone who's consumed with their fears. You obsess about it all day long. You think about it at night. And here's the thing. The more we think about it, the worse it gets. It's like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. We try to fix it ourselves. And Psalm 127 highlights some of the ways that we try to do that. And it just hurts even more. So we begin by looking at the fact that we can't cure our anxiety. We try to fix it, but we can't cure it ourselves. We do need help. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need His gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's answer for our anxiety. And you may say, well, where do you get that from Psalm 127? I think the principle is seen at the end of verse 2. For He gives His beloved sleep. And the idea here is much more than sleep at night, but it's about rest and contentment and peace. And this strikes at the core, at the vitals of Christian religion, of Christianity, Old and New Testament. There's a promise, there's a covenant where God promises that I will be your God and you will be my people. And so we can hear these words ringing from God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will be your God, and you'll be my people. And how does that promise find its culmination and fulfillment? It's found in Jesus Christ. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that He lived a perfect life and died a sacrificial death for sinners like us, is God's answer for our anxiety. The gospel is not just information that we need at the beginning of the Christian life. It's something that we need to come back to over and over again. It continues to be the foundation of the life of the believer. We can never get over the promises of God in the gospel. Coming to terms with God's great love and forgiveness and the radical acceptance we have through Jesus and His eternal plan and the peace and the joy and the hope and the contentment that we have in Christ is one of the ways that God helps us deal with the fears and the anxieties that we face. Jesus crucified, buried, risen, ascended, interceding for us now, God ruling and reigning. It puts our fears in perspective, doesn't it? If God is on His throne, and if he's taking care of the biggest problem that we face, our brokenness and our sin, it puts everything else in perspective. Remembering that my life is hid with God in Christ, living with the gospel, getting to know the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of the resurrection. This is part of the way to deal with our fears. You know what is one of the most repeated commands in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Fear not. And I think it's important for us to read those commands and those encouragements not like an angry parent. Don't be afraid. You better stop it or you're going to be in big trouble. No, that's not what I don't think that's the principle or the spirit. It's more like when you go into your child's room in the middle of the night, when they cry out to you because they've had a bad dream. What do you say? You go and you kneel beside their bed and you say, "It's okay. Daddy's here. Don't be afraid." And I think it's with that spirit of encouragement and comfort and presence, I think that's how we should hear the words, "Do not be afraid," as words of comfort and encouragement from God, our Emmanuel, God with us. Think about the things that we hear from the Scriptures in that light. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Remember what Jesus said in John 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." He told Peter, James, and John in Luke chapter 5. Remember what he said? "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." Remember what God said to Joshua? "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We read it this morning from Romans chapter 8. "There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Christ is the pledge. He's the promise of God's love for us. And knowing Christ and knowing that we are His beloved children, seeking to live in the fellowship of Christ, it gives us this incredible freedom not to be controlled by what other people think about us. Why? Because we've been accepted by the God of the universe. Gives you the freedom to work hard, not because it all depends on you, but you can work trusting that the Lord is building the house and He will do what He wants. It means that you can try things. You can succeed and it not go to your head, and you can fail and it not just totally crush you as a person. It means we don't have to worry about our lives. Some of us think that we have to have this perfectly orchestrated 5 or 10 year plan. And if one part of the puzzle doesn't come together, that our whole life is just going to come unraveled. Knowing Jesus gives us the freedom to work for Him and to rest in Him. Martin Luther was one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. And after the Reformation kind of got going a little bit, one of his friends came to him and he said, "Your opponents have all the power. They have all the money. They have all the resources, the inroads. What are you going to do? How is this thing, how is it going to work?" Martin Luther replied, "I'm going to preach and teach and pray and sleep. And I'm going to watch God do the work." Isn't that the same way with us? With this church, with your ministry to others, God is at work. What about this? What about them? Well, you pray and you talk and you pursue people and you tell them about Jesus Christ and you watch God do the work. I also want to challenge you to try more and more to offload the anxieties and the fears that you're dealing with onto Jesus. He can take our fears and the shame that we have because we're afraid. He can take them. He can take them away from us. He can carry them and He can cast them into the heart of the sea. The last thing I want us to think about from Psalm 127 is this. What we're tempted to neglect when we're anxious. We've seen that we can't cure our anxiety and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to our fears. But there are certain things that we're tempted to neglect when we're afraid. One of them is implied from the passage. I think the other is implicit. One of the things that we're tempted to cast aside when we're afraid is worship. And Psalm 127 is part of a group of the Psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. And these Psalms were songs that God's people sang as they journeyed from their homes to Jerusalem three times a year. And they would sing these songs. These songs would be in their heads and in their hearts. And they would sing them as they made their way to worship at one of the feasts. One pastor has said it like this: worship helps restore our spiritual sanity. Worship helps us reboot our spiritual lives. But isn't it easy for worship to be one of the things that goes when we're afraid and when we're dealing with anxiety in our lives? I just don't have time. I don't have time to make it to church or to go to community group, or I don't have time to read the scriptures. There's just too much going on. I just can't do it. When we're all wrapped around the axle, worship seems to be the last place that we want to be sometimes. But it's really the first place that we need to be. Don't run from God when you're overwhelmed with life. Run to God when you're overwhelmed with life. The other thing that we're tempted to neglect when life is hard and challenging is our family. Why do you think Solomon changes gears here? He's talking about work and building and labor and guarding a city, and then he totally changes the subject and starts talking about children and how they're a heritage from the Lord and how they're like arrows in the hands of a warrior and a blessing. How is the first part of Psalm 127 connected to the second part? I think it makes total sense. When life is hard and anxiety is heavy upon us, one of the first things we're tempted to do is to neglect the people that we're closest to. So for dads and or men in the room, it could mean coming home from work, but just being totally checked out. And turn on the TV or scanning your iPhone. And not spending time with your family. You could be wrestling on the floor with your toddler, or you could be talking with your daughter or throwing the ball with your son. It takes more work, but it is something that can reap huge benefits. There are probably moms in this room who are in survival mode. And sometimes you wonder if you and your children are on the same team. I want to encourage you to remember the promises of God as you may be in the trenches of parenting. And kids, you're not excluded here. And little kids, preteens, tweens, teenagers, college students, it's easy to shut out your parents. You can do it subtly or not so subtly. But all you have to do is put in your earbuds and roll your eyes and shut your parents out of your life. God wants you to let them into your life. Even though they're inconsistent, even though you come from a dysfunctional family, and I know that because we all come from dysfunctional families, God wants us to move toward the people that are closest to us. But isn't it genius here? When life is hard, we're tempted to neglect the people that are closest to us. So we have this beautiful reminder from God that family is precious. The children are a heritage from the Lord. That they're not a burden but a reward. That blessed is the man or woman whose quiver is full of them. He will not be ashamed at the gate. There are very few people in life who say near the end of their lives, "You know what? I wish I'd spent less time with my wife and kids and more time at the office." Some of you come from great families. I know it. Some of you may come from difficult families, challenging family situations. But here's one of the things that trumps all of that. One of the most beautiful principles from the Bible. That we can be called the children of God. That in Christ, Jesus is our elder brother and God Himself is our Father. 1 John 3:1 says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons, the daughters of God." And that is what we are. Romans 8:15, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." John 1:12, "To all who receive Him, He gave the right to be called the children of God." Of God. He's the perfect Father. He provides for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He guides us. Are you overwhelmed and anxious and worried about your life? Look to your Heavenly Father. Know that He loves you and that He has a good plan for you. Give Him your fears. Give Him your anxieties. Cast your cares on Him and He will lift them up. Trust Him, because if He is the Lord of your life, if He's the anchor of your soul, it puts everything else in perspective. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess that we are afraid and we deal with anxiety and worry and we resonate with Psalm 127. Lord, we pray that You would help us to believe that You're in control and that You're good and that You care for us and that You have a plan. Pray that we would trust in You more and more the rest of our lives. Help us. We can't fix it ourselves. We need Your help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.